2 Corinthians 9. So we looked at how God wants to help us with fear, right? And we're going to look at that a little bit more, because that's really the most important part here about fear, is that God wants to help us with it. And that's all there is to it. We don't need to know the definitions of the manifestations. We don't need to know 100 verses or anything. All we have to know is God wants to help us with fear, and then when God wants to help with something, that's all there is to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm not there yet, but I'll get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it explains a little bit more about how God is. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and in verse 10, it says, "Now he," and this is God, "now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness." This word ministereth here is really cool. It's the word epikorigio, if you're into that. And it means chorus leader. And that didn't mean anything to me. So, what this epikorigio word means back in ancient Greece. And it's actually a really cool thing. So, definition of that word was. In ancient Greece, entertainers, whether dancers, singers, or actors as a group, were called a chorus, and they took their act on the road. Often, they would not be able to cover expenses, and they would be pressed to continue or not. But there would be someone who took a personal interest and would generously contribute above the need and do so at their own expense. This act was called epikorigio, and they would be called the chorus leader. And that's that word ministereth here. It's that epikorigio, and that's God. They would be called the chorus leader. They made sure that everything that was needed for the chorus's success was liberally supplied. And that's God. God liberally supplies everything that we need for success. So first he gave us his word, right? And he says to believe his word and that it's going to be great. Sometimes we have problems with that and we still fear. So what he does is he helps us with that fear. And then he helps us to get to the point where we believe. Then we finally believe, and then he brings his word to pass, and then often he goes beyond that just to bless us. And that's God. He supplies everything that we need for our success. So that's that word ministereth here. So he helps us, as we heard in manifestations yesterday, he helps us every step of the way. He gave us his word, and then he helps us to believe it. And that's just how he is. He doesn't expect us to do anything on our own, because he knows we're not really too great without him. And let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. So what I really want us to understand is that God does want to help us where we have fear. And it gets easier as you are more in the Word for longer, that you think that you have to handle more things on your own. But really, it's the opposite. The more you get in the Word, you have more responsibility or more people you're taking care of or something. And that means you have to go to God more. You often need more help. And then he's more willing to help. So we don't need to condemn ourselves if we feel that we're not believing in an area that we should be. We just ask God, "God, I need help with this." And he helps us. He helps us every step of the way. So we know in Proverbs chapter 3, here's a familiar verse, but still a good one. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." In all your ways, that includes areas where you're afraid. That includes areas where you're not believing like you think you should. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. So God wants to help us with our fear. He wants to help us conquer our fear so that we can believe. So we're going to look at another record here in the Old Testament. You can go to Judges chapter 6. If you don't know where Judges is, just remember that Joshua judges Ruth, and you can find that. So we're going to look at a man named Gideon. And Gideon was just a person like us. He had fear. And he had God also. And we're going to see how God helped him with the fear that he had. So, Judges chapter 6. Some background here is it's the children of Israel that we're talking about. and they were in the promised land. I noticed downstairs in the bathroom, there's a soap called Milk and Golden Honey. So whoever did the bathroom stuff, that was fantastic. Milk and Golden Honey. It was just soap, though, turns out. So, judges. So they're in the promised land, and they've defeated a bunch of people. God's helped them a lot, but there's still a couple people, well, a large group of people that don't like the children of Israel. So chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord." So we're off to a bad start here. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and even the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. So Israel is kind of in a rough situation here. These Midianites and the Amalekites and even the children of the east are taking all of their stuff, right? They're oppressing them. So it's not really looking good. So verse 5, "For they came up with their cattle and their tents. They came up as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it." Grasshoppers is used a lot in the Old Testament, that people are as grasshoppers because there's so many. But it doesn't really mean much to us now, because I think I've probably seen one grasshopper in the past year and is probably dead or dying. So I looked it up on YouTube. I highly recommend you look up swarm of grasshoppers. It's crazy. I saw one from, what's that called? Planet Earth. And with that British guy, David Attenborough, he's the best. He's like, "Oh, the grasshoppers, they're coming." And but anyway, so there's these swarms of grasshoppers in Africa or something, and they come together. All these different swarms come together, and they form a giant swarm of grasshoppers that can be up to 40 miles wide, which is ridiculous. That's a lot of grasshoppers, and there's multiple billions of them. So that's the picture that we get here. So we have, they came up as grasshoppers for multitude. There was a lot of these guys, okay? There was a lot of them. So you should look that up. I also saw another one that this guy filmed on his phone in Egypt somewhere, and he's just in a city, and there's grasshoppers all over the place. It's crazy. Anyway, back to this. So that was verse 6, right? There's a lot of these guys. Israel's not doing well. And Israel, verse 6, "And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." And that's the first step of deliverance right there. So what does God do? He sends someone to help him out. Let's move on to verse 11. "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." So Gideon is threshing wheat here, and he's doing it in the winepress to hide from the Midianites. While he is hiding here, verse 12, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Gideon is hiding here. He's hiding in the winepress, and this angel comes. He's sent by God. This angel comes and says, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." That's the first step that God does for this guy, Gideon, is he helps him out. He says, "Hey, you're a mighty man. You're a mighty man of valor, and the Lord is with you." And I'm sure that must have done a lot for him, right? And that's just what God says to us, right? God says to us all the time that he's with us. He says that he helps us. He says that we just give our cares to him. So he calls him a mighty man of valor while he's in hiding. And he calls us more than conquerors. It's up to us to just believe that. So let's keep going. Where are we? Mighty man of valor. Verse 13. "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And God really didn't even respond to that here. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? That's what God says. He didn't even worry about what Gideon said. He was just like, yeah, go. Like, I'm sending you. You're the guy, mighty man of valor. God is, and you could just picture him in his chair with his iced tea. God's just like, go, it's fine. Okay, so, have not I sent thee? That was verse 14. Verse 15, and Gideon responds again, and he says, Oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. You could see Gideon's meekness here. He doesn't think really that he's a mighty man of valor. And the Amplified Bible, they translate that, My family is the least significant in Manasseh, and I am the smallest in my father's house. So Gideon kind of knew that he wasn't anything without God. And that's something that we should remember also when we try to figure stuff out ourselves. We're nothing without God. Even Jesus Christ said that, right? He said that of his own self, he doesn't do anything. You know, he can't do anything without God. If Jesus Christ can't, chances are we can't either. And God tells us that too. Just come to me with everything. Where you're afraid, come to me and I'll help you. All you have to know is that God wants to help us when we're afraid, where we're not believing, where we need help. He'll help us out. So Gideon is meek here and he says, How am I going to do this? I'm nothing. I'm the smallest in my house. You know, I'm the smallest in my father's house. 16, and the Lord responded to this. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. That's us too, right? We're nothing, but God is with us. That's what he says to us. I'm with thee. You're not really much on your own, but the reason you're more than a conqueror is because I'm with you, because I've enabled you. I've given you spirit. That's what God says, and he wants to help us. And he doesn't get mad at Gideon. He said, I just called you a mighty man of valor. Go fight people. He doesn't say that, right? He just helps him out. Gideon says, How am I going to do this? And God says, I'm with you. That's how you're going to do it. But still, Gideon needs a little more help than that, as we often do, because he's just a man. He has some fear. The Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, in verse 16, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Or that is God that's talking with me, is what the translation is. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. That's what the angel says. I'll stay. Okay. And Gideon went in, verse 19, and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour, and flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, of course, and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. So God helps him out with his fear a little bit here by blowing up these cakes on the rock. That's a good sign. What I want to tell you, though, is that we don't really ask God for signs anymore because we've already been given a sign that he dwells in us, right? At any time, you can speak in tongues. That's kind of a good sign. That's something you could do at any time. You can even pretend you're not going to speak in tongues and then do it all of a sudden, and it still works. So if you need a sign, you don't need cakes or broth or anything like that. We speak in tongues and we know God's with us. So there you go. And we also don't demand God of showing us a sign or anything like they do in the movies. There's a kid in bed and he's like, God, if you're really here, blow up this flower pot or something, and he doesn't get what he wants. We don't need to beg God for signs or demand that he shows us a sign. He's already given us spirit. We know he's with us. Verse 22. So the angel came, he blew up the stuff, okay. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." Gideon thought he was going to die because he saw an angel. That's what they thought in that time. God's like, "It's fine, don't worry about it." He's just in his chair. It's fine, don't worry about that. Okay, so we're going to skip this next part here, but I'll sum it up a little bit. So Gideon's feeling a little better about himself. God tells him to go take down the altars of Baal, and so he does it. But one point that it makes is that he does it at night because he's afraid. He doesn't want to do it when people can see him. So he takes it down, and then the next morning, all these unbelievers come up to his house because they found out he did it, and they're all angry, and they say, "Hey, we're going to kill you." Well, they probably didn't say it like that. "Hey, we're going to kill you now." But his dad answers the door, and he says, "If Baal is a god, how about he fights for himself?" And that kind of ended that conversation. So that's pretty great. So that was until verse 33. We're going to pick it up again in verse 34. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali. And they came up to meet him. And Gideon said unto God, so again, he's having some problems with his believing. He's having a little bit of fear. He says to God in verse 36, "If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said." So Gideon comes up with this whole scenario here. "I'm going to put fleece on the ground, God. What I need you to do for me, because I need some help, is make that fleece wet in the morning, but the rest of the ground, make it dry for me." And God is so kind. God is so gracious to just do this for him because he wants to help his believing. Gideon is meek, right? He said, "I can't do anything by myself. I need some help." And God's so ready, so willing to help him out. And verse 38, it's so great. It doesn't even say God did anything. It just says, "And it was so." That's how easy it was for God sitting in his chair with his iced tea. He just says, "Yeah, and it was so." And that's it. And that's all it took to make this fleece wet and the ground dry. It's so easy for God to help us with what we need. It's so hard for us to do it on our own. And it was so. Verse 38. And he rose up early on the morrow, because he was so excited, and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. It's a lot of dew that God put in this fleece here. So at this moment, Gideon's like, "Great. You know, God is with me. I know that I'm okay now." And then minutes later, he says, "But what if the ground just happened to dry quicker than the fleece for some reason, and the fleece just was wet and the ground was dry? I don't really know. Or what if someone was walking through here with a glass of water, and since there's all this grain on the ground, they trip and they drop the glass of water on the fleece, it gets really wet, the ground's dry. That could have happened also." And he comes up with all these scenarios in his head as why this might not have been God. And that's pretty funny, but it's something that we probably do all the time. You know, God will do something great for me, and then 10 minutes later I'll be like, "Well, what if that was just a coincidence?" Or, you know, that wasn't God. So Gideon still, as a man, he needs some help. And he asked God again, in verse 39. And Gideon said unto God, "Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. I made a mistake the first time. I should have said, can you make the ground wet and the fleece dry? Then I'll know that you're with me." Okay? "Let me prove," this is verse 39, "let me prove, I pray thee, but this once, one more time with the fleece," because I still have this fleece here, Let it now be dry upon the fleece, and upon the ground let there be dew. Switch it up a little bit. Because now if this happens, he knows that God is going to be with him, right? And God is so gracious again. And verse 40, it said that God actually did it this time. And God did so that night. It was a little bit harder to do. No, it wasn't harder. And God did so that night. It was so easy for him. And it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. God is just so kind, right? Gideon needs help with his believing, and God is just so kind to do it. It's, you know, this fleece stuff is so easy for God to do, you know, getting a little bit of dew. He made dew in the first place. You know, he's the reason dew is around. He's the reason fleece is around. It's no problem for him to put the two together. It's no problem at all. It's so easy for God to help us, but it's the asking him that's hard for us for sometimes, thinking that we have to do it on our own. But it's so easy for God. And once we do, he's just like sitting in his chair with his iced tea. He's like, no problem. Okay, so God did so that night. Chapter 7. Then Jerubbaal, this is Gideon, that's what they called him after he did that stuff with the altars of Baal. And Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the wall, the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And Gideon's feeling pretty good about himself now because he's got the fleece and he knew that God's with him now. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. Now it's God's turn. God's like, that fleece stuff was nothing. Let's make some moves here, okay? So now it's God's time to shine. And he says, you have too many people. You're going to think that you did all this stuff yourself. But let's make it clear that I'm God and that I do this stuff to help you. Okay? And verse 3. Now therefore, he says to Gideon, now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned the people, 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Bullinger says this is actually 2,020. I don't really know. But what I do know is that there remained 10,000. So there's 10,000 people against the grasshoppers of people, right? The billions and billions or whatever it was. So either way, whether a bunch of people left or little people left, they don't have too many left to fight all these guys, all these grasshopper people. They might have looked like grasshoppers. So 22,000. Verse 4. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are still too many. You still have too many against these grasshopper people. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And whoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. And what's great about Gideon is that he does this. You know, he's believing now, and he's ready to go with God. If God says something, he's down to do it. Verse 5. So he brought the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down onto his knees to drink. So separate the people out by how they drink water. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink the water. The reason God's separating the people out like this is because the people that bowed down were used to bowing down to other gods. So God's like, we don't want those type of people. We want only the people that are using their hands and they're getting the water and they're watching for the enemy. Those are the people that we want. So he started out with not too many people, but a good amount. And now he's down to 300, right? Because all the other people were used to bowing down to other gods. Verse 6, the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. And all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man unto his place. We're down to 300 men here. But with 300 men, it's no problem for God. With one man, it's no problem for God to take out anything. God usually likes to use stupid things to take out large numbers of people. Like, with this muffin. Go grab that muffin and we'll take out all these people. No problem. Because God's big, he likes to show himself strong, right? It's no problem for him. 300 or two people with a muffin. Or anything like that. So verse 7, so God said, by these 300 people, I'm going to save you. So the people, verse 8, the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man, unto his tent, and retained those 300 men and the host of Midian beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. God again just says, don't worry about it. I delivered the people into your hand. Verse 10, and God is again very kind here. He says, but if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host. God knows that he's afraid. But he says, but if you're afraid, I'm not saying that you are. If by chance you're afraid, then go with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host. It's so easy for God, you know? And it's hard for us, but it's so easy for God when we get the right perspective, like my dad was saying. Verse 11, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hand be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah, great name, Phurah his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along the valley like grasshoppers again for multitude. And we know about grasshoppers now. There's a lot of them. And their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. So we get another picture. There's just a lot of these people. And we have 300. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, he's just talking to his friend, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and there came unto a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it, and the tent lay along. Last night I dreamed a dream, and there was this piece of bread, and it came down, and it killed all of us. He just says to his friend. And his friend is just as weird, and he replies in verse 14, oh, yes, what a nice dream you had. This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. Oh, that dream, we've all had that dream before. And we've decided that that dream means that that's just Gideon who's going to kill everyone here. Don't worry about that. I still don't understand how this all happened and why they're just fine with this, but this is something that God does to help Gideon with his fear, okay? And it's just how he works with Gideon. He knows this is what Gideon needs. And he said, you know, if you're afraid, then go down and I'll help you out. God's the same way with us. He helps us out how we need it, right? Maybe we don't need a pot to explode to know that God is with us or that he's going to help us. God will work with us exactly how we need it so that we can get to believing his word, so that we can see his word come to pass. This is what Gideon needed, and God was so nice to do this for him. Verse 15, and it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he left, probably, that he worshipped. So this is finally when Gideon gets to believing. He worshipped. He saw, okay, God did this for me, and now I'm ready to go. He finally got to the point of believing. And what a great moment that is. So then he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. You know, the things that you take to battle. And see, it's just these stupid things that God uses to take out all these people. And verse 17, and he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came into the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hands, and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. This is a very weird thing to do in a battle. But this is what they do, and this is what God told them to do. And like we saw yesterday, I guess it was, sometimes it doesn't look cool to do the things that God tells us to do. This probably didn't look too cool. They were probably very confused. But they believed that God was with them, and this is what God said to do. And we're going to see that this is what gave them the victory. Spoiler, sorry. They got the victory in this one. Verse 21, and they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshitta in Zarephath, and to the border of Albamalab, unto Tabith. So what God did is awesome. These people were so afraid, they just started killing each other, all these grasshopper people. They were just so confused, and they didn't know what was going on. They just killed each other. What's really cool is that Gideon and his people really didn't have to do much at all. All they had to do was go in there with some weird items and say something. And then God did all the work for them. And how often that is for us. You know, At work, I have this happen all the time, where I have a problem and maybe I messed up something and I'm afraid that it's going to do something bad. And I pray to God and I say, God, if you can just do something about this and help me out, that would be great. And then usually I don't have to do anything at all. It just resolves itself. And that's God. You know, the hardest part is just asking him for help, and then he takes over in his chair with his iced tea. No problem. And that's how it was here. God just took care of it. They didn't have to do much at all. So God clearly does want to help us with our fear, right? God definitely wants to help us with our fear. We just need to be meek to get to the point where we do ask him for help. And remember that he wants to help us. He's God. He calls himself our helper, which is really cool. God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is our helper. And we're just people. But God is our helper. He's the one that's going to take care of it all. And that's a good helper to have, I think. You probably think so too. Let's continue here. Let's read 23 again. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of all Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites, and take before them the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together, and took the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb, and they slew Oreb upon the rock Oreb, and Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb. That's convenient. And pursued Midian and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side, Jordan. God did great things here. First, God said, I'm going to be with you. Well, first he said, you're a mighty man of valor. That's the first step that he did. He just builds him up. You're a mighty man of valor, even though you're hiding out here. And then Gideon needs some help with his believing, as we often need some help with our believing. We're afraid of stuff. And he says, God, can you help me out with this? I'm nothing without you. I need some help with my believing. And God's so gracious to do it. Sometimes it says, and it was so. And then it says, and God just did it. It's so easy for God. And that helps him. And then he still has a problem. He's still saying, okay, God, I need a little more help. God's so gracious to help him again. He doesn't get mad. He doesn't say, you should have been believing the first time. God's so gracious to help again. And then finally, we get to the point where Gideon does believe, and it says that he worshiped. And I think often we're like that. We finally see where God's helped us. We finally see where now we're ready to take on whatever we need to as more than conquerors. And we're just like, thank you, God. Now I'm ready. Thank you. So we don't have to be perfect people for God to show himself strong for us. We just have to be ourselves. Gideon wasn't perfect, and neither are we. But we do have to be meek to ask him for help, and he absolutely will help us. Because it's because that he is with us that we're more than conquerors. So let's just believe that God is with us, and then we can be and live like more than conquerors.